This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A recent hidden camera video led to the resignation of NPR's top fundraiser and its CEO. Conservative activist James O'Keefe secretly taped a meeting between NPR's vice president for funding, Ron Schiller, and a bogus Muslim interest group. Schiller drew criticism for many of his remarks recorded on the tape. He resigned in the aftermath, as did NPR CEO Vivian Schiller. Vivian and Ron not related. Glenn Beck's website, The Blaze, has since shown that O'Keefe's tapes were edited, severely edited. It was about 12 minutes of tape that we all saw, then 2 hours of tape, in fact, was the original. But the controversy has fed animosity toward federal funding for public broadcasting. Here to talk about the fallout and the future of NPR is Ombudsman Alicia Shepard. Alicia, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. So, Ron Schiller has a meeting for the first time with a group purported to be from a Muslim interest group offering perhaps $5 million. Talked religion and politics. He made some serious mistakes, didn't he?
Very serious. First of all, it's very rare in public radio for someone to get an offer of $5 million out of the blue. So that should have been a red flag warning. There was nothing when they do the database searches for nonprofits and who gives money and just the normal things that any development office would do, they didn't come up with anything. And then he broke the cardinal rule with talking about religion and politics on a first meeting with total strangers. It just can't get worse than that. And it's been very demoralizing for the development staff that worked for him that still has to go on and do their job of trying to fundraise. And the editorial staff at NPR is just feels so angry that they've been mistreated or not well served. And
well, one of the complaints we hear over and over again from some from listeners, but people who perhaps don't always listen, is, look, this is proof NPR is liberal. I mean, and do they have a right? They have a right to feel that way, don't they?
I don't think so, because I see what the content is every day in terms of the hard work that the journalists do. And I have learned from this job. I've been ombudsman since 2007 that perception is in the eye of the listener, if you will, or the ear of the listener, that depending on what your own political beliefs are or how you can hear content on NPR. And a perfect example, if you will, was one story about had to do with the Arab-Israeli conflict. And in 10 minutes time, the first call came in and said NPR about the, again, we're talking about the same story. NPR is nothing but national Palestinian radio. You're never fair to the Israelis. 10 minutes later, NPR is a shill for the Israeli Defense Forces. You never tell the whole story of the Palestinians. So these are people who hear the same story and have a different reaction to it. Then my second thought is that reporters are professionals. Of course, everybody has personal beliefs, biases, agendas, issues they care about more one than the other. But that's not how we behave. And I know that you don't do it either. You go out there, you don't say, I'm going to do this story. I really want to make a point. No, I mean, you have on a guest and you might have on other guests. Your whole idea is to help educate the public. Let them decide.
In the aftermath of this, as we said, there's a public perception of what public radio has done. There is a full video, a full 2 hours. In fact, it appeared on Glenn Beck's website first that we saw the full context in which these statements
were made. No, actually, James O'Keefe put it up publicly, and I gave a shout out to him because he's done things in the past that have not, have only been selectively edited. In this particular case, he made the full 2 hours public. I mean, even within that full 2 hours, what Glenn Beck's website did was point out that there had been some editing.
Does that make a difference? Even when we see the full context, given the statements that were made, particularly about religion, about religious views and political views, does it make a difference?
It doesn't make a difference because when I, as the ombudsman, my first response was, did you, Ron Schiller, say these things? And I contacted him, and he said, yes, I said some, quote, stupid and sweeping things, unquote. So he behaved very unprofessionally. And I think it's really important to think of journalists as professionals, but also to distinguish that Ron Schiller is not a journalist. He worked for the fundraising department. He had no influence on what kind of stories that the public that the reporters cover any more than people who donate to WUNC or do. They give the money because they support the general purpose, and they are not trying to say do stories on such and such.
The House of Representatives passed a bill last week that would prevent federal funding to go to NPR. And tell us how this bill works and what impact it might have.
Well, this was a special bill targeted at NPR, but it's just part of a long process. It basically said that federal funds that go to some 900 public radio stations, including WUNC, that they could not use that money to buy NPR programming or other national programs that are published, other national programs that are aired, such as Marketplace or the BBC. I guess that would be international, but there's also this issue of funding the public radio stations. So that's probably not of such concern as much as these Congress deciding whether or not to give $430 million this year, have that approved, that would go directly to public radio stations. And then there's future funding that is also at stake. So I think that the public broadcasting, both TV and radio, are gearing up for probably an 18-month fight.
And just to clarify this, WUNC, for instance, gets $500,000 from CPB, and also WUNC buys programming from NPR. NPR doesn't get CPB money. In fact, that's the way it works. CPB gives the money to the stations. Stations choose to buy back programs, and in the case of WUNC, we could probably do it with our budget. That $500,000 represents 7-8% of our budget. Other stations, however, that represents almost all of their money, so they would have to use that to buy public programming. And
right. It would be there are about 100 stations that are largely in rural areas, and certain House members have said, well, you know, now with the internet, we have tremendous offerings of getting news. You don't need public radio. But that isn't the reality, because in rural areas, connectivity isn't always that good. And so public radio also, you know, plays a key role in providing public affairs reporting. The other thing that doesn't get mentioned enough is that public radio is the first response system in an emergency. You ran one today, and an emergency warning. And it's also used for the Amber Alerts if children are missing, abducted. So that is a key role that the private networks don't play.
Public radio has moved more and more into foundation work, getting money from other sources, particularly after the 1980s when public broadcasting took a very big hit and learned that it had to operate in another world. Does public radio need the federal government over time?
Well, I think, Frank, that you're raising the philosophical question, and that there are three things going on right now. And one of them is that Democrats and Republicans are asking is, you know, is it appropriate for the federal government to help public radio? You know, then you have the backdrop of a fiscal time right now where there's a $1.6 trillion deficit, and can the taxpayer money really be, can they afford to use it for public radio? And then there's the political aspect of certain Republicans, conservatives not liking public radio. So in my opinion, as someone who's really got steeped in how the funding works in the last 3 years, it might make sense to phase it out, but certainly not zero it out.
Public radio is in a particularly difficult position, it seems to me, because it is a kind of interest group. It has funding coming from the Capitol, and often what happens is you get your people together and you go advocate for your cause. we are stewards of the public airwaves. What does that mean for strategy for public radio in the face of what NPR, I think, would consider a crisis?
Well, I think it puts NPR and PBS and the other public broadcasting programs like American Public Media in an awkward position, because I think the best they can do is alert the listeners and the viewers that this is news, this is going on right now, but the FCC doesn't allow a call to action. So I think it's a fine line. Any WUNC reporters, any NPR reporters, they cannot be out there advocating that the legislation be defunded or funded. And they absolutely cannot do that. And so you have to be very transparent about your role in this and how, as you just pointed out, how WUNC would be affected by this if the funding went ahead. But you can't get on the air and say, so don't let it happen.
Right. Or call or write your congressman, something like that. But do we have a responsibility, and do we have the right ethically to report on ourselves?
I think you definitely have the responsibility to report on yourself. It would be odd if you didn't, and you would be criticized if you didn't say that this big issue is happening. There's threat to defund public media, and we're not going to report about it. It is news, and you have to disassociate yourself from the fact that it's personally happening to the station and maybe there's some concern, but you also have to be transparent about the fact that it is happening. But just like NPR is struggling now, it's had all these scandals and woes. How do they cover themselves? This is a really tricky dilemma for any news organization, whether it's the New York Times when they had their Jason Blair scandal, or public funding and how it's going to be covered. It needs to be talked about. It needs to be thought about.
Alicia, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Alicia Shepard is ombudsman for NPR. You can find her blog at npr.org/ombudsman. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Just ahead, Molly O'Neill about regional cooking and America's taste buds. Stay tuned.